is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Dodgers one game away from being back in the World Series. Santa Ana winds picking up again today. We got that fire danger. But first, what happened on the beach out there in Santa Monica?
Someone drove an SUV onto the sand in Santa Monica, not too far from the pier, and killed someone who was sleeping on the beach. Live to the scene in our John Baird.
I just walked a couple hundred yards onto the sand and there's some blowing wind. I mean, the sand was just blasting. To talk to some people who had been sleeping on the beach last night. They had tents set up and they saw this silver SUV with at least a couple of people inside driving recklessly on the sand. Now, at some point, that vehicle struck and killed somebody who may have been lying or sleeping on the beach. And in fact, that victim got stuck underneath the SUV and first responders had to dig under the vehicle to get the person out. He or she was pronounced dead here at the scene. Now, a woman who says she camps out here on the beach often, she has a dog by the way, saw the SUV just rolling around.
You can still see some of the tracks
right
in the sand. They went out a bit, kind of like just joyriding.
Joyriding,
that's what it looked like, just younger guys drinking and joyriding.
Now, she says the vehicle ended up about 10 feet away from her, but she wasn't aware that someone had been hit and killed at that point. She also tells me she never sees cars. This is very unusual. She doesn't see people driving on the beach. Now, that driver was arrested. There was video showing him being handcuffed and taken away. He was in tears, pretty emotional.
All right, John, thanks. Windy day, red flag day in Southern California, Santa Ana winds. We could see 120,000 power shutoffs, maybe. At least those kind of people have been warned, that number of people, by SoCal Edison across L.A. and Ventura counties. Diane Castro is with Edison.
Should a shutoff be necessary, we will attempt to restore power to the customers as soon as it is safe to do so. And that means we have crews inspecting the lines and to determine if it's safe to re-energize.
So they'll kind of keep watching things until about noon tomorrow. Parking restrictions in the city of LA for what they call the very high fire hazard zones are expected to last 24 hours or so, starting about 8 o'clock this morning, so half an hour from now. Look for the signs. Restrictions are intended to keep those roads clear so fire trucks can get in and people can get out if they need to.
Mookie Betts sends a high fly ball to deep left field. Nimmo's going back at the wall. It's gone. Mookie Betts goes deep.
Dodgers now just one win away from getting into that World Series, thanks in part to Mookie Betts. You heard the call there on Fox Sports 1. He hit a two-run homer in the sixth to help put the game away as the Dodgers crushed the Mets 10-2 in Game 4. Shohei got it started for the Dodgers with a leadoff home run in the first. All-star first baseman Freddie Freeman missed the game due to an ankle injury. Afterward, Mookie said the hard work is paying off.
A lot of stuff has clicked and hasn't worked, and some work today worked, but tomorrow's a new day, and I'll come work and try and find the same feel. But, it's just a lot of work. God really answering prayers, all those type of things. And so it's just good to know that I helped the team.
First pitch, a little after 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Meta, Facebook, and Instagram firing 24 employees in L.A. for misusing their daily meal credits. They get $25 a day to buy non-food items, stuff that wasn't food, laundry detergent, wine glasses. Word comes as the company announces layoffs in several different divisions, including Instagram and WhatsApp. Mark Zuckerberg saying it is Meta's year of efficiency. 20 minutes of nonstop news presented by the loanexchange.com for all your home loan needs.
Kamala Harris and Donald Trump will both be campaigning in the battleground state of Michigan today. Harris will get things started in Grand Rapids today and then head to Lansing to talk to the auto workers union. And then it's on to Oakland County. Donald Trump will also go to Oakland County a few hours after her event and hold a roundtable discussion there. And then he's going to attend an evening event in Detroit. CBS News campaign reporter Hunter Woodall talked about why Michigan is so important for both candidates, but perhaps even more critical to the Democrats.
Michigan is so critical to both Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. I mean, but especially more so for the Democratic side, because when you look at the past of 270, the electoral votes, amount of electoral votes that anyone needs to become president, Harris likely needs to win Michigan. Her easiest path goes through winning Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and then obviously in an electoral vote in Omaha, Nebraska.
Why does
outside detention, the state makes complete sense at this state in the process. Now, obviously, there's a risk there, though. Donald Trump won Michigan in 2016, And that was one of the big reasons, obviously, that Hillary Clinton never became president.
Yeah.
So when you see this outsized attention, that's what we're looking at today.
Why is she seemingly having such a hard time holding on to that blue wall? I mean, where is she not doing as well as Biden did or even Clinton?
You know, and I think that's the fascinating thing. This is a state that is always competitive, but it was a state, obviously, that actually was fairly blue in 2022. Governor Gretchen Whitmer won re-election. You know, state legislative control flipped to Democrats, and they had that unified control that they hadn't had in past years. But Donald Trump obviously does have a certain appeal that does resonate in Michigan. So, you know, no Democrat can take that. You know, Michigan is a state that, oh, you know, we're reliably going to win it. But at this point, you know, it's not clear who's going to win that state. And that obviously, you know, this close to the election, it's one of those few states that really could decide who's the next president of the United States.
A lot is made of the large number of Arab American voters there in Michigan, very upset over the war in Gaza. There's been talk about, you know, protest votes or just not voting at all, or maybe even going third party. The DNC actually has an ad, right? That kind of just lays it out, literally says, if you go vote for Jill Stein, that's like a vote for Trump.
Well, and that's, again, how narrow these states can be. I mean, when Donald Trump won it in 2016, Michigan was a very narrow margin. And these third party votes, you know, it's interesting. There's third party options, obviously, on the ballot. And they can tend to sway, you know, who wins or loses in these races. Now, you know, nobody, you know, wants to say they're a spoiler candidate. But truly, you know, these elections, especially in the battleground states, and, you know, CBS News considers there's seven battleground states at this point, those states can be won by very narrow margins, but that can lead to an outsized electoral advantage. So really, you know, every vote counts, clearly.
How many people do you think there are who still just don't really like either of these two? Because I think the Democrats tried to be like, oh, Kamala's here. Now everything's great. Joe Biden was the problem, right? But there's this New York Times piece today that says these Michigan voters aren't undecided. They're cringing.
Well, I think when you get to this point in the cycle, there's, you know, you're going to find, I've always found when I talk to voters, even, you know, I remember being in Minnesota about a year ago talking to voters, and there was always this sense of, oh, I don't like either option, when it was Biden or Trump. You know, when you get to a point where you really feel like you have two major choices for president that could actually become the next president, not everybody's going to be happy. But it is interesting. You know, I think at one point it was called, you know, who's going to win the double haters or something like that.
Right.
And it is interesting who, you know, which of the two candidates, Trump or Harris, can appeal to the voters that aren't exactly happy with either of them. And it remains to be seen who's going to do that.
That was CBS News campaign reporter Hunter Woodall. New questions this morning about Tesla's self-driving technology. Members of Congress trying to prevent a government recommendation that we drink less booze. Morris, 20 minutes of nonstop news continue.
Former President Trump was at the Al Smith dinner in New York City last night. Traditionally hosts both candidates from both parties and deliver, you know, speeches and roast one another. He gave that keynote.
The votes are starting to come in. You got to get out and vote. And Catholics, you got to vote for me. Just remember. You better remember I'm here. And she's not. I could have done that, too.
Yeah, she is. Kamala Harris didn't go to the dinner, but sent out video, co-starred former Saturday Night Live star Molly Shannon as her character, the Catholic schoolgirl, Mary Catherine Gallagher.
Does it bother you that Trump guy insults you all the time? Because it really bothers my friends and me.
Oh, Mary Catherine, it's very important to always remember, you should never let anyone tell you who you are. You tell them who you are.
Haters gonna hate, hate, hate. Shake it off.
Shake it off.
Shake it off.
Shake it off.
Al Smith Dinner annual charity event raises funds for the Catholic Charities.
Paul Whelan, the former Marine who spent over 5 years in a Russian prison before being released 2 months ago, speaking out. First TV interview with CBS's Face the Nation, a little clip on CBS Mornings. And he shared that his time in prison, he says, was, well, it was hard.
Even though now, you know, I seem like I'm doing okay. I see a picture of me from the prison, or I see a picture of me from court that's on TV. And that takes me back to being in that court or being in the prison.
His release, part of a prisoner exchange deal involving several countries where Russia released 16 prisoners.
People still spending a lot at the stores and restaurants, even with the high prices. A research from the Federal Reserve shows wealthy people driving the spending because they've got more money from jobs and homes and investments. Consumer spending, a major part of the economy. The low-income families struggling with the higher costs for rent and food, making it harder for them to spend on things like entertainment. In the last month, the retail sales were up.
It's another issue for the system that Tesla calls full self-driving. Jeff Gilbert reports the government has opened an investigation into nearly 2.5 million vehicles that have the software.
Federal safety investigators say they have reports of one pedestrian death, another unrelated injury, and four crashes in total involving full self-driving systems operating in low visibility conditions. Despite the name, Tesla has said the systems require drivers to remain engaged.
The investigation covers Teslas from 2016 through 2024.
California parents conflicted a little bit when it comes to their children's use of social media. Here's Kathy Whitman.
Cyberbullying, following celebrities, and the age limit for having a social media account all concern parents whose children are online.
Social media is a place where offline peer relationships and experiences play out.
Ann Collier, executive director of the Net Safety Collaborative. A new survey done by education company Test Prep Insight shows the top worry parents have when their kids are online is cyberbullying.
And so all the same stuff that happens at school can happen in digital spaces as well.
She says parents need to pay attention. Only a third of parents in the survey say they monitor their children's social media use.
Parents would find a certain comfort level if they knew a little bit about what their kids were doing online.
They need to ask questions and be aware.
I'm Kathy Whitman. KNX News 97.1 FM. Members of Congress trying to stop a government committee that could recommend that Americans drink less alcohol. They're worried that the scientists on the committee could be biased against alcohol. One of the Congress members, Mike Thompson, who represents the country from Napa, represents the wine country, wrote a letter with 113 of his colleagues asking for the committee to be put on hold. He says he thinks the process isn't clear and that it repeats work that's already been done. The recommendation would come in an update to the U.S. dietary guidelines, which are being reviewed for 2025. Lawmakers are concerned that the committee might suggest lower safe drinking limits. Last year, the World Health Organization declared that there was no safe level of alcohol consumption.
Is standing better than sitting? Here's Chris Sedens.
Standing is seen by many doctors as helping to offset the harms of a sedentary lifestyle. But a new study finds that standing more does not improve cardiovascular health over the long term. Dr. Zhenghan Chen heads up the structural heart program at Memorial Care Saddleback Medical Center.
That act of being sedentary while standing puts you at risk for a different type of cardiovascular disease, specifically the circulation problems in the leg veins, also with what they call orthostatic hypotension, which is basically getting lightheaded standing up. The take-home message is that you should really try to move.
Put simply, Dr. Chen says standing isn't enough. You have to walk or stretch, move your body, and get your blood flowing. I'm Chris Sedens, KNX News 97.1 FM.
The LA County Assessor's Office has gone digital. You can now get everything you need to know about a property online. Here's Karen Adams.
A lot of the stuff you had to do in person, like sign documents, you can now do online. Assessor Jeff Prang says they've now gone to the cloud.
You easily go on site, type in your address, and it'll give you all the information that's publicly available about your property or any other property. It also, it does link to the tax collector's website, so you can get information about the assessed value and whether the taxes are current and what the taxes were for the current year.
What's more, the new site will help you to better protect yourself from title thieves.
Now you can subscribe your email address with your property, and anytime something is recorded against your deed, you'll get a notification within 48 hours. So if it is fraud, you'll have the ability to respond quickly.
There's also the AI assessor chatbot to help with any questions or needs. I'm Karen Adams, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Halloween is less than 2 weeks away, and a lot of workplaces and elsewhere have the buckets of candy out. We've got it here. How much candy have you already eaten? Well, we talked about it with a registered dietitian, Lauren Minchin, and she offered us some tips on how not to go through the entire bucket in just a few days.
I usually recommend when I work with someone on this, starting out with a healthy snack or a meal first, and then portioning out a serving of the candy as a small dessert. And if you can space it out, a lot of people will get their bucket of candy and then it's gone within a few days. And I usually will say, try to make it last for the month. You know, have a piece or two each day as a little treat and space it out. And that, in terms of reducing your daily sugar intake, is really impactful while still allowing you to enjoy some of your favorites.
She says some candy is slightly healthier and can make a difference.
Typically, it's really full of high fructose corn syrup and just a lot of sugar. If you look at the number of grams on the back of a package, it is so much. And so looking for something that's lower in sugar, instead of, 25 to 30 grams of sugar, maybe something that's 8 to 10 or 10 to 15, even that kind of improvement can make a big difference in terms of your total intake. And then also looking for things that contain no fat, trans fatty acids can be, a lot of the chocolate and caramel based candies can contain that. So looking for something that's trans fat free as well.
And if you're going to a Halloween party, she says, be choosy when it comes to what you eat.
Choose your favorites. You know, take a few extra minutes when you go to a fun event that with a party or another type of holiday event, and take a few minutes to look at your options and stick to just your favorites. A lot of people will go to holiday events or be in an environment where there's a lot of processed foods and candies and treats, and they will simply eat them because they're there. I always recommend taking a few extra minutes and just sticking with your favorite things. And you'll be amazed by the end of the holiday season how much, you know, treats and processed food that cuts out.
She also has some tips if you're going to be drinking at these parties.
Stick to no sugar added options. So wine, a light beer, clear seltzers with lime. Are all great options, and space out each of your alcoholic drinks with a glass of seltzer and lime or flat water if you prefer that. It will help you to stay more hydrated over the course of the event. You'll feel better the next day, and it naturally cuts down on the number of drinks you have by the end of the time or the occasion without having to, you know, count them. But spacing them out with water is a great way to do that.
There you go. Registered dietitian Lauren Minchin.